Let's turn in the word of the Lord to Ezekiel chapter 19. And we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 14. Ezekiel 19, verses 1 through 14. Give now your attention to the word of God, because it is God's word. As for you, take up a lamentation for the princes of Israel and say, what was your mother, a lioness among lions? She lay down among young lions. She reared her cubs. When she brought up one of her cubs, he became a lion and he learned to tear his prey. He devoured men. The nations heard about him. He was captured in their pits and they brought him with hooks to the land of Egypt. When she saw him, as she waited that her hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. And he walked among the lions. He became a young lion. He learned to tear his prey. He devoured men. He destroyed their fortified towers and laid waste their cities, and the land in its fullness were appalled because of the sound of his roaring. Then nations set against him on every side from their provinces, and they spread their net over him, and he was captured in their pit. They put him in a cage with hooks and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in hunting nets so that his voice would be heard no more on the mountains of Israel. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard planted by the waters. It was fruitful and full of branches because of abundant waters. And it had strong branches fit for scepters of rulers. And its height was raised above the clouds, so that it was seen in its height with the mass of its branches. But it was plucked up in fury. It was cast down to the ground. And the east wind dried up its fruit. Its strong branch was torn off so that it withered. The fire consumed it. And now it is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty land. And fire has gone out from its branch. It has consumed its shoots and fruit so that there is not in it a strong branch, a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation and has become a lamentation. And that is the word of the Lord. So just as it says, this is a lament, and it is a lament for the kings of Judah. We can see this because it talks about those who are young who become these great lions, and then also at the very end when it talks about scepters to rule. And here it's talking about the kings of Judah, the sons and descendants of Josiah, who were being wicked, led Judah and Jerusalem to destruction. You remember the names specifically of four of them: Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, and Zedekiah. And from their line, the kings going all the way back to the line of David, the line here is cut off, which is why the lament is happening. Of course, as there were no more kings after this, no physical descendants of David took the throne until the time of Jesus himself. Jesus did himself, but that is not being looked to here. That is not being promised here, though that is where hope is found. Here it is lamenting the wicked kings and how it led to no king. Through verse 9, the kingdom of Judah and the house of David are compared to a lioness or cubs, and the cubs who become lions, those lions being the kings who killed men, but those same kings, though bad, evil kings, were hunted and taken down. And then through the end of the chapter, Judah and these kings are conquered or compared to a vine and branches. It had been strong, it had flourished, it had great fruit, but now they were broken and burnt up, consumed by fire. And so, beloved, as Ezekiel was to lament and to turn the people to lament, that they might repent, and so that they would not continue in their blindness, that everything, remember, they believed that everything was fine, everything was going to work out just fine. Rather, he was to confront them and point out their blindness, to that everything was all right, so we must lament also for us today, the state of the church in our country and throughout the world, and those ways it struggles and has turned from the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and lament and pray that the Lord would help the church. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for your mercy. Because if it were not for you, we would be just like Jerusalem and Judah. And our very own congregation would be like them, and we would be destroyed and devoured. And Father, we look throughout our nation at the church. We look throughout the world in some places at the church, and we see so many, that as we read your word, we see so many churches turning from it, especially in our own nation, especially in our own city, and near where we live. We see churches that love the world more than they love you. We see churches that love entertainment and feeling good about themselves, having their ears tickled with words that are not from your word. And so they have turned from you. We see churches that in their worship are leading people astray and causing many to focus on things of this world, and perhaps focusing only on your love and not on your holiness at the same time. Focusing on joy and gladness and not the reality of what is truly in our hearts, sorrow and sadness at times, or struggle. Even as we heard this morning, focusing perhaps on Jesus, but not revealing and reminding people of the work of Satan himself, the devil, and his schemes. Father, we have seen many in churches, even those who call themselves Reformed churches, who turn from your word, turn from your law, turn from the gospel, and do those things which are forbidden. Even creating idols and entertaining in their worship drama or dance or icons, like so many have in the past, and our fathers have gone before us, have rebelled against, because your word says that we ought to not make unto ourselves any graven image, and heaven above or on the earth beneath. And they have loved other gods, and they have taken your name in vain, and even used euphemisms in their speech, which use your name and yet try to disguise it as another word. And Father, the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, has been dishonored and taken out of the church. Or some churches don't even worship on your holy day. They worship another day. And they don't gather on the Lord's Day, perhaps because of the idolatry of football or the need for seeing the need for adults to have a day off on Sunday from their work. And they really don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the Sabbath and how blessed we are to have the rest that we have, to rest in you from our labors and from our pleasures. Perhaps they, there are many churches in where that perhaps they worship in the morning, but it's not the Lord's Day, it's just Lord's morning. And then the rest of the day is taken up in their own desires and pleasures. And this has caused a great turning from you in our society, in our culture, in the church, even in our own denomination. There are so many churches that don't uphold your law or don't seek to uphold your law, but rather seek to obey their own desires. And Father, we come crying out that you would change their hearts, and where we sin in these things, even in our keeping of the Lord's Day and the Sabbath, even in our worship where we don't worship in spirit and in truth, where we are just like them, Father, we ask that you would turn us from our sins and turn us unto you. Or where we make idols in our hearts and create images to try to represent you. Even when we talk about the Trinity, we want to go deeper and try to find the exact specific meaning and doctrine of the Trinity to try to get to the intricate details of it, and yet we know that if we try to do so, we will become heretics, Father, because it is so easy to turn to try to understand you with our fallen minds and hearts. And yet we keep trying to try to understand that there is one God and three persons who are the same in substance and equal in power and glory. And we try to go further than that, and we turn to error, or turn to an analogy to try to picture it in our minds, to try to picture the infinite and the eternal one, you. And so, Father, as we have prayed for ourselves and we mourn our own sin and turning from you, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, and knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us, for you are our advocate and you are pleading unceasingly in glory to the Father. We thank you, Jesus, for that. But Father, we do pray for the church, that you would send a great revival. And what we mean by that, of course, is that you would send your Holy Spirit to change hearts and cause a reformation and a turning back to you and your word. Father, we acknowledge that we have tried our own, even perhaps elders here, we have tried on our own strength to do this. Father, we ask that and know that only you can do it. So, Father, make us to remain faithful where we are faithful, and change where we have sinned, turning back to you. And may you change your church and reform her, that we would be united in the truth, as you are the God of truth. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.